beginning then in Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of the things that we've been hearing over the last several weeks in the portion that we read from chapter 5 is that if we are in Christ, if we have been made new by His Spirit and joined to Him through faith, then we will be engaged in battle. There is a battle between the Holy Spirit and the flesh, and it is a mortal battle, and the Holy Spirit is determined to kill every last bit of remaining sin in the Christian. So a Christian is someone who is in this battle. And without going through each of those portions, we ended last week thinking about how thinking about how those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, as it were, which is a great enemy and wars against us, wars against the Holy Spirit and what He is doing in us. For the believer, the flesh ought to be gasping for air, something that you are attacking with all of the brutal force that is found in the image of crucifixion. We have not seen crucifixions, so we don't feel the brutality, the force with which we ought to be attacking our sin, the refusal to let it gasp for air, as it were. But the reality in the life of Christian is that sometimes the crucifixion of our flesh does not seem to be taking. Next week we'll be coming out of this passage into the next one and being warned not to lose heart, not to grow weary in well doing. which means, of course, we wouldn't need that often if it wasn't a wearying thing that would sometimes make us to lose heart. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit produces in us, or if you're listing the fruit in the order we have here, what's the first part of that fruit? Love. And love for another brother who is engaged in this combat is going to want to come to his aid. We each have our own battle with our own flesh. That's an important part of what he's saying here in these five verses at the beginning of chapter 6. But we're engaged in this battle alongside other brothers and sisters who are each engaged in the same battle of their own. And so if we are loving them, one of the things we will do, to use the words that Jesus uses in his earthly ministry when he's talking about a similar thing, is as we are taking the log or the plank out of our own eye, part of our desire will be that our understanding of fighting against our own sin will enable us to help our brother. To take what, as far as we are concerned with our brother, for him it's a log or a plank, but to us we are to see it, the Lord Jesus teaches us, as a speck. But that is part of the reason for our battle with our own sin. Which means that when we help the brother who is overtaken in his sin, his battle against one aspect of his remaining sin is going poorly just now, and we want to come to his aid, it needs to be out of our own having been engaged in this battle. You who are spiritual, help him, he says. But he doesn't say that in a vacuum. He says that in a context where those who are spiritual are engaged in mortal combat against their own sin. And so, what do we need to do if we are engaged in this combat and we're really coming to our brother's aid out of a desire to help him? This is very important because Paul is fighting legalism like crazy in Galatians. And so you might think that we should never tell our brother or our sister or come to them or confront them, interact with them about some sin in their life, but it's exactly the opposite. It's just that there's a right way to come to them, and it is a way that is marked by fruit of the Spirit. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, in whom the list of the works of the flesh are the things that you are fighting against, many of which can rear their ugly heads. When you're trying to help a brother, right? Your brother can't see something, you're trying to help him see it. And if your flesh is rearing its head, then dissension and strife and all of these things that were works of the flesh in chapter 5 can just come to the surface of your heart. And so we need to come with that part of the fruit of the Spirit, verse 1, that is a spirit of gentleness. And we need to come knowing that we have that whole list of the works of the flesh at work in us as well, that we need to be. That's primarily what he's talking about here when he says, in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Right? This is not the brother who has achieved a level of self-dependence. He has risen to a place of maturity where now he has strength in him by which he's going to help his other brother. He may be further along in grace. There is such a thing as maturing in grace. That's an important teaching in the New Testament. But as we mature, we realize more and more what? That we are nothing. What's the great danger when we're helping our brother that I'm going to think that I am something? And he says, no, if you think you're something, since we're all actually nothing, we can paraphrase it that way, right? Verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And so there's a danger when we come alongside our brother of starting to think we're something.
So don't compare yourself to your brother. If the Lord is doing work in you, if the Lord is producing fruit in you, rejoice over what the Lord is doing in you compared to you, not you compared to your brother. But as you look at you compared to you, what are you going to see? You're going to see all the remaining battle to do in your own combat against your own sin. And so he says, for each one shall bear his own load. And that's why it sounds like, and you always have to take a good look at the context, make sure you're understanding when it looks like the Bible might be contradicting itself, right? It says, bear one another's burdens, verse 2. For each one shall bear his own load, verse 5. Well, bear one another's burdens is don't leave your brother stranded in the fight against his sin, verse 2. For each one shall bear his own load, verse 5, is as you help your brother, remember that your primary battle is against your sin. Right? That you're still battling sin. You haven't finished your own, and now you're starting on your brother's. But the Spirit has produced in you the love with which you come to help your brother. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He's referring to what John in his first letter refers to the commandment that we have had from the beginning, which is a new commandment, but it isn't new, right? It's from the beginning of the New Testament church. Jesus adds a third and great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First and greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Second is like it. And when Jesus gives that new commandment, he uses the form not of the 10 commandments, but of the 2 great commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. Husbands, this is the primary way that you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. For what? For her redemption. That she would have her guilt put away by his sacrifice of himself. But not just her guilt put away, but that she would also have his life given, not just for her, but to her. And so the apostle in Ephesians 5 there says that he might sanctify her by the washing of water with the word. Now, your brothers and sisters in Christ are not all your wives. But Jesus uses the same pattern for his commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And so we should see it as burden, bearing a burden with our brother or sister. Because Jesus died for them to be perfectly holy and perfectly happy forever. And we want them to be holier and happier in him. And that's what we're aiming at. If that's not what you're aiming at, when you come to a brother to talk about their sin, if you're coming thinking that you are a source of strength, then if you or I come that way, we need to know that we're not acting like one who is spiritual. And we need to revisit the second half of Galatians 5 for ourselves before we try to do Galatians 6:1-5. For someone else.